Continuing in Joel, our portion today is chapter 2, verses 18 to 27. The book of Joel is one of those minor prophets that everybody's heard of, but nobody really knows what it's about. The central theme of Joel is, in fact, the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. Just skim read, if you've got your Bibles there, chapter 1, verse 15. The day of the Lord is near. Chapter 2, verse 1. The day of the Lord is coming. Chapter 2, verse 11. The day of the Lord is great. Chapter 2 again, verse 31. The day, the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And chapter 3, verse 14. The day of the Lord is near. The day of the Lord. That's the central theme. But what exactly is the day of the Lord? Well, that's the title for next week, so you'll have to wait till next week. But for the Jew, it was regarded as the great climax of history, the end of the world. There'd be judgment of God, and it would be followed then by a new and a better world. But before this final day of the Lord, there would be foreshadowings, if you little pictures, little warnings of what it would be like. For example, there was to be a plague of locusts that devastated the land, and we've looked at that, chapter 1 and verse 4. The locust swarm has left, what the locust swarm has left, the great locusts have eaten. What the great locusts have left, the young locusts have eaten. And what the young locusts have left, other locusts have eaten. Great, utter devastation, a picture of chaos. It's the end of the world, judgment. There was a picture of another invasion. Not an army of locusts, but an army coming from the Babylonians, coming from the north, invading, chapter 2 and verse 2. It's a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, and it's like a large and mighty army coming. Verse 20 says, coming from the north. So there'll be an army of locusts, an army of real little pictures prophesying future judgment. I guess the way I remember this is when we'd done something naughty when we were children, Mum would, forgive the phrase, but she'd crack us round the ear hole, and then she'd say, wait till your dad comes home. You know, we'd have a little crack round the ear hole, and then a future punishment when father comes home. It's leading to future final judgment. As we said, that's next week's title, chapter 3. So, as we recap, Joel says, your sins will be punished. You sin, you get punished. And that punishment came by a severe plague of locusts that destroyed everything. If we skim read chapter 1, the first 12 verses, we read words like wail, waste, ruined, stripped, mourn, grieve, dried up, destroyed, fails, despair, and withered. It was one of the worst swarm of plagues ever. Everything was destroyed. And Joel, well, he's a preacher. A preacher's never far from his sermon. And he sees this disaster as God's punishment. Now, as I'm preparing this, and as we're listening to it, we're still in the midst of a COVID. And I've got a little air of caution here, because it would be heartless, absolutely and presumptuous to see all disasters as punishments of God. I'm not saying there isn't some punishment, but to see all disasters as punishments from God. But Joel was guided by the Spirit of God, and he sees this exceptional plague of God as both a warning and a sign of worse to come. Joel unmistakably sees it, and he calls for a day, for a time of repentance, of prayer and fasting. Chapter 1, verse 13, it says in italics above verse 13, a call to repentance. Put on sackcloth, priest, mourn, wail, Spend time in a night in prayer. Pray about it. Joel sees it, this disaster, this plague of locusts, as a taster of the final day of the Lord, of coming judgment. Moving on again into chapter 2, Joel says, if you don't repent, there's going to be an army of soldiers coming down from the north. And that will be just as devastating. Chapter 2, verse 12. So rend your hearts. In other words, repent. Turn to me with all your heart, he says in verse 12, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. And if you do, verse 25 of chapter 2, he says, I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. You'll be rewarded. In a nutshell, Joel is saying, if when you're judged, if you repent and mean it, if it's true, genuine repentance, you will be fully restored. You will not lose out. And indeed, chapter 3 and verse 16, one of the great 3:16s of the Bible, the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the people of Israel. When you return, just like the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, you will be welcomed back, fully restored. Well, that's probably a little recap of the book, but our portion, the book actually divides where our portion starts. The first chapter 1 verse 1 to chapter 2 verse 17 is all about locusts, it's all about disaster, it's all about armies, it's all about the act of God, about calling people to repentance. But now, from chapter 2 verse 18 to the end, there's a change of tone, there's a change of style. The message is no longer doom and gloom, judgment, but it's of restoration and blessing and revival. Indeed, Joel is being called the prophet of religious revival because he knew revival follows true repentance. So, in our verses, how does the Lord bless? Well, chapter 2, verse 19, he answers prayer. The Lord will reply to them. Call on me and I will answer. The Lord will reply. He will hear you. He will answer your prayer. Secondly, again in verse 19, he'll meet your need. He says, I'll send you grain, all that the locusts have eaten and the armies have destroyed. I'm going to send you grain, wine, oil, enough to satisfy you fully. If you repent, all your needs will be met in him. He'll stop the mockers, if you like. Chapter 2, verse 19 continues. He says, never again will you be an object of scorn to the nations. The nations round were saying, well, these are God's people. Why is God punishing them? Why has this happened? Never again will that happen. You won't be an object of scorn. God is God, despite what's happening around in the world. I know in the church there are hypocrites, and we're our own worst enemy, but with a real saint of God, you can't argue. You can't argue. The mockers can't argue against it. Fourthly, he destroys the enemy. That's the fourth blessing of being restored by God. Verse 20, he says, I will drive the army, the Babylonian army, from you, pushing them into the deserts, and with its front columns going into the eastern sea, and those in the rear into the western sea. But surely he has done great things. He destroys the enemy. That's what he says. Drive them far from you, pushing them away from you, driving them into the sea. That's how the Lord answers, with blessing. Blessings abound where'er he reigns. He blesses the earth, verse 21. Be not afraid, O land, be glad and rejoice. He blesses the earth. He blesses the animals, verse 22. Be not afraid, O animals, for open pasture and is coming green, the grass is growing again, the trees are bearing fruit. So he blesses the earth, he blesses the animals, he blesses his people. Verse 23, be glad, O people. It's all reversed. What the locusts have eaten comes good. The grass, when the locusts come, the grass goes. In other words, the earth suffers. When the grass goes, the animals suffer. And when the animals suffer, we suffer because there's no animals to eat. And now, Joel is saying, when you it's all reversed. The land, the grass, and then what's he say in verse 23? He says, be glad. It's the end of verse 23, but I'll read verse 23. Be glad, O people, rejoice. The Lord has given you the autumn rains in righteousness. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains, as before. It will be just as it was before, with animals finding pasture, verse 22. The animals find pasture, the pasture's becoming green. Trees bearing fruit, verse 22. The trees are bearing fruit, the fig trees. And the people, verse 23, being glad again. The Lord, verse 21, has indeed done great things. In fact, God's work of restoration is even more amazing than the destruction by the locusts. So be glad. Be glad. I will repay, and you will be satisfied. Verse 26. You will have plenty to eat. There'll be plenty until you are full. Until you are full. I will repay. You'll be satisfied. You'll be full of praise at such deliverance. Verse 26. Says you will praise the name of the Lord your God. He's worked wonders. And you will know him. Verse 27. Then you will know that I am indeed the Lord your God. And there's no other. There's no other. He's ever present. He's with us. He's with you. He's with us. The passage is speaking to God's people, the believing community, to us. We need to repent and return. So what is the Lord's answer? Let me read it. Verse 18. The Lord will be jealous for when you return to him. The Lord will be jealous for his land and take pity on his people. He'll accept their repentance, in other words. He will reply to them, I'm going to send you rain. I'm going to send you grain, wine, oil, enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will you be laughed at by the surrounding nations. I'm going to drive away your enemies, pushing them into the parched and barren land, with its front columns going into the eastern sea, and those at the back into the western sea. The smell will rise up. Surely he has done great things, so don't be afraid, land, but be glad and rejoice. The Lord has done great things. Be not afraid, O wild animals, for the open pastures are becoming green again. The trees are bearing fruit. The fig trees and the vine yield their riches. Be glad, people. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. He's given you the autumn rains in righteousness. He sends the autumn showers, both the autumn and the spring rains, just as it was before. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow. His abundance, it will overflow, filled with new wine. I will repay for the years that you've wasted, that have been wasted, that the locusts have eaten, the great locust, the young locust, the swarming locust, my great army that I sent among you. It was me that did the punishing, but you have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God. He's worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed. They will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. Well, our time has gone. God bless you, and I hope that these words have been will inspire us to return, to repent, and renew contact with God. Amen.